Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love roller coasters. All right. It started with those wooden ones where they'd take you up and up and up and up, and then whoosh, you would be going down, and it would be crazy, and you would be going faster and faster and faster. But my true love are the roller coasters that twist you and flip you and turn you upside down. You go up that first steep hill, and then down you go until you're flipped or twisted or all over the place. Now, I've been to some where you're sitting in a car and that happens, and that's kind of cool. I've also been on some where your feet are dangling free as you're flipping upside down. It's exhilarating. It's unnerving. It can be terrifying and uncomfortable, but it also just brings a great big huge smile on my face, and I'm pumped for quite a while afterwards. Today, in our gospel story, as Jesus is teaching, Jesus is looking at the world around him. He's looking at the prejudices, the habits, the inclinations, the presumptions. He's looking at the way that things are seen and thought about, and Jesus takes them and turns them upside down. Jesus takes the status quo and turns it on its ear. Now that can be unnerving. It can be uncomfortable. It can be exhilarating. But what Jesus is trying to do is give to all of us a new perspective. As he's giving a new purpose to the disciples, to the crowds, and to you and me. At the beginning of our gospel reading today, John comes running to Jesus and he says to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." You can almost hear the breathlessness of John in his voice as he rushes to tell Jesus. Now, the disciples were trying to protect Jesus as well as protecting themselves. You see, they had followed Jesus. Jesus had actually sent them out two by two on a ministry so that they could teach people and heal people and cast out demons. And this guy that they bumped into, he wasn't one of them. He wasn't following like they were. He hadn't put in the time. So what did he think he was doing, huh? And you see, conventional wisdom is on the disciples' side. This fellow seemed to be kind of horning in on their gig. So they tried to stop him. And John came to Jesus to give the report. What Jesus did, though, was to turn all of that upside down. The world around us says to us, if they aren't for us, they're against us. And Jesus turns that upside down by saying, whoever isn't against us is for us. Instead of closing things off and setting up some kind of an exclusive group, Jesus opens everything up wide. Jesus is trying to show that God's kingdom, that God's grace, that the power of God's love is for everyone. And it is for everyone to share it, to show it, to live it. Jesus is giving to all around him this new perspective. And that perspective is you're not alone. You're never alone. You have allies. You see, we are for one another and for the world allies. Those who carry with us God's love for the sake of neighbors and for others. This is the perspective that Jesus is trying to show us all. Jesus is telling us that it's not just for a select few to have the exclusive right to share God's love. It's not only for people who wear this really cool collar, right? If you want, I invite you to buy the shirts because then they'll get cheaper. All right. It's not just for people who wear these, right? It's not the people who wear robes and stoles. It's not for people who have a license or a permit or credentials or anything like that. You see, that would be a conventional wisdom kind of thought. You have to have all of the ducks in a row before you can do this. It's what the Pharisees had been teaching, and Jesus was turning all of that upside down. Share the love as you see the need. What we don't want it to become is a stumbling block. We don't want to stand in the way of God's love. We don't want to be a barrier between the grace and the kingdom of God and anyone else. We want instead to share the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The stranger that the disciples saw was doing just that. He recognized a neighbor in distress and he helped as he was able. He brought the love of God with him and served a neighbor in need. But now this leads us to that new purpose that Jesus is bringing today also. And that purpose is self-sacrifice. This is what Jesus has been getting to when he talks at the end of our reading about salt and fire, that confusing part that hardly anyone understands, myself included some days. Because in Jesus' day, sacrifice meant something died. Sacrifice was done at the temple. And anything from turtle doves to oxen, lambs, goats, grain, wine, it was all offered in worship at the altar. And at every sacrifice, you would find salt and you would find fire. In his living, Jesus is showing us something different. In his suffering and death, Jesus is showing us something different. In his resurrection, Jesus shows us this new purpose. Because in the life and the ministry of Jesus, sacrifice changes its meaning. It changes from taking the life of a surrogate and it becomes self-sacrifice. When we hear the word sacrifice in our context right now, we don't often think of killing a goat someplace. We think of how it is that I can help someone else. Self-sacrifice. This is what Jesus has been teaching since Caesarea Philippi, when he told the disciples and all of us that in order to follow him, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. Jesus is now teaching us that self-sacrifice is the standard for loving our neighbor. Setting aside our wants, our desires, our selfish needs for the sake of another. That is the path that Jesus is leading us to. So when Jesus says we will be salted with fire, he is hoping that we will be willing to sacrifice our needs for the sake of our neighbor, for the sake of family and friends, for strangers and even enemies. It's not so that we can earn a place in heaven. It's not so that God will see us and recognize us. It's because we know that God's love fills us already and we get to share. But salt is also a flavor enhancer. And so Jesus is encouraging us to bring the flavor of God's love. He's asking us to bring the zip and the zing, the taste of God's love and forgiveness, as Jesus animates us to share that flavor and bring the peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding, to the people and to the world around us. You see, the disciples wanted to claim exclusive rights to Jesus and to the ministry that he was living. In making that claim, they were actually becoming stumbling blocks. And Jesus turns all those ideas right upside down. God's love and God's kingdom are not exclusive clubs for only the top tier individuals. It is open to all. It is meant for everyone. And if they are not against us, if they're not standing in the way for us, then they're for us. They're allies. They're blessings. We can want that exclusive claim, just like the disciples did. I mean, I can remember when I finally figured out that not all of the world was Lutheran. And it took my third grade mind a little while to wrap my head around that truth. But in the turned upside down world that Jesus welcomes to, we have allies, we have friends, we have sisters and brothers in Christ to whom we can turn for help or for whom we can be help. The love of God is for everyone, and we get to share it with the people around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.